Welcome to episode 55 of The Iron Agenda, the podcast about War Machine, hordes, and whatever else is on our minds. Hey everybody, and welcome to The Iron Agenda, the podcast with a mandate to get it on. I'm Josh.
I'm Dave.
I'm Jason.
I'm Tim.
Somebody's been listening to Adam Carolla.
Ah, there you go. I knew so. I was hoping somebody would get it.
Yeah.
It's get it on, got to get it on.
No choice, but to
no
get
choice
it on.
But to get on. Then sometimes he says, "Mandate, get it on." Okay, so, you know, it's an occasional little extra thing. I didn't know you listened to the Adam Carolla podcast.
I've run out of. I've caught up to all my podcasts, and I know you mentioned it one time, so I added it to my subscription.
Have you been listening to my other one?
Your other one? No, I've been waiting for the first episode to drop. I'm so into a Waldo Disney movie. I think the idea is perfect. I'm waiting for you to capitalize on it.
And Monopoly.
Well, he's going to be playing Monopoly in the movie. That's what the movie's about.
He's gonna have to track down
the missing pieces. So instead of where's Waldo's, where's the race car or the thimble?
No, where's Uncle Moneybags?
Mr. Moneybags.
Is it Mr. Moneybags? I failed.
No, Uncle is like Scrooge McDuck.
So Mr. Moneybags isn't the guy with big vault of money that he dives in and swims.
Pennybags.
I think Pennybags.
I used to think it was Pennybags, but I read it and said Moneybags.
Really? They might have changed it to Moneybags because pennies don't go as far as they used to.
Could be.
Oh,
depends inflation. How hard you flick them.
3 pennies for a Frankfurter. No, no. My grandpa had this like sign up in his house, and it had like all these old prices from like a deli from a long time ago. There was like hot dogs for 2 cents.
Wow,
I wish that was the case now.
Was it actually called hot dogs? Wasn't like Frankfurter Wiener or something like that?
No, I think it was hot dog.
Interesting.
Yeah,
hot dog.
Hot dog.
I knew you were going to go there.
Top drawer.
Top dog drawer. Oh.
So what are we talking about today?
I don't know. What were we talking about last week before the computers died?
Well, we were talking about the contest, but we already
I was in Chicago.
That.
Were you? Oh, yeah. You said you were in Chicago.
I was.
You were on State Street.
I was.
Where you got the... What was given to you?
Herpes?
Woolery?
Chocolator. Oh, the Chocolator. Oh, yes. I did receive the Chocolator on State Street. It is calculator, and its wrapping was in the appearance of a chocolate bar, and it looks like a chocolate bar. Like the buttons look like, you know how chocolate bars are segmented and they have like little
Hershey bar. Yeah.
Yeah. So the buttons look like that, and it smells like chocolate. The calculator does. Kind of like plastic, kind of like licorice.
Enough where you know what they were going for. It's a little off though, just a little bit.
It's like chocolate that's been, you know, had old feet wrapped around it for a while.
Yeah. Yeah, old feet. That's exactly right. Now, I needed it to calculate armies, and my girlfriend, her father actually has an abundance of, like, little crappy calculators. He works in medicine, and, you know, they have all the promotional things for all the medicine, and they keep breaking. And then she's like, I saw this calculator, and I wanted to buy it for you. So there you go.
That's so sweet.
I know.
How is Rosie doing?
Rosie.
Rosie?
Rosie O'Donnell.
Rosie Powell.
Oh, I get it. I'm not up on the masturbating lingo like you are, Tim.
Well, Tim.
Well, I learned it all from you.
Tim does work in the fluff room.
He's the fluff parlor king.
Timberly.
I'm gonna kill all
Timberly.
Of you.
Oh, there's one thing. I don't know if it was this week it came out or what. But if you go to the White Moon Dreams forums, they have a picture of Stryker, their new Stryker model. It looks pretty cool.
Ooh, I did not see this.
You oh yeah,
pull it up, you need to cue that up.
Yeah, he looks younger. Than
well,
he should be. I
it's Prime Striker.
No, he's wearing a diaper.
So like in a span of 3 years, he ages like 50 years.
He's wearing a diaper in this picture.
Oh, I guess War does do that to people, yeah.
Also, this week, we on the PP, on the PP actually main website, they have the new pictures, the new art, and I think it's quite incredible.
Holy cow.
Let me see
this. That is pretty freaking cool.
Uh-oh, passing it around. Look at that.
I think the hair is not as tall and orange as it should be, but that's just me.
That may not be, you know, completely.
Oh, I'm sure it's not completely done, but it still looks pretty good. He's even got a little mole, little beauty mark right there by his left nostril.
He's a beautiful man. But yeah, the art is
amazing.
Is really
how
sweet.
Much he looks like Matt Wilson. No, I'm just kidding.
You can buy it in prints from them, and I know I kind of like the Gore Shade one a lot.
That Gore Shade one's pretty sweet. I also like the Fiora one quite a bit.
Fiora
I don't really care
good.
For her in the game because she's a fiery bitch, but that is such a cool print.
Engine Destruction, baby.
Blood of Queens?
And then she got together with Resnick, like, look, let me tell you how to cast self-buff spells.
This is how you do it.
Here's how you get them at 10.
Exactly. He's way scarier than she is, too.
I thought they needed more lightning on the Signar ones because there just wasn't enough.
No.
And not enough little swirly magical circles.
Kane's art was pretty cool, I gotta admit.
I'd say that was my least favorite.
Yeah, really?
he didn't really look like Shiva with like 20 arms.
I really like Haley's out of the Signar batch.
Although Siege is always worth, you know.
I didn't like Haley's, I thought it was too static.
Speaking of those art, that art, if you haven't yet seen it or haven't heard the buzz, the fourth Kadoran Warcaster, Kadoran, is our new friend. What was his name?
Strakov,
yeah.
Well, let's just get into our topic. Our topic last week was we were speculating on a bunch of stuff that we were going to see in the Mark II books and potentially even the Army books. And the one that was speculation at the time still was, yeah, we'll probably see that Assault Commando Warlock.
Quickly came true.
Yeah.
He's got a good boomstick. I think
Matt Wilson hacked our computer and crashed it while we were recording so they could get that out first.
Could be. He's a ghost in the machine.
Ghost in the shell.
I don't like how big that Strakov's gun is. It looks like it's just weight. I mean, I can suspend disbelief with a certain amount there, but this, it looks like it's got to weigh 30 tons.
30 tons.
30 tons. Dude, more than like the main.
Seeing his size in the art, I think he's going to be on a medium base.
Really?
Ooh, they did say he's quite husky.
He looks like a cross between the Butcher and an Assault Commando.
He just looks like an Assault Commando. I think he'll be small beast.
Hey.
He's got a gas mask around his neck, though.
I saw that. I was wondering why he wasn't wearing it.
I really like his gun. I think it's going to shoot like grenades out. I think it'd be really sweet if he had a good rate of fire. My only concern is, I mean, I'm assuming he'll probably be focus 6 just because of the way it goes. I mean, you know, he doesn't look like a magic user. He looks more like a fighter. But at the same time, this, other than Karchev, Kador doesn't even have a 5, do they?
Mm-mm.
So, I mean, I would just assume that he's along the 6. You see a lot of the fighters with 6.
One thing I said last week was I thought his feat was going to be the bombardment that we read in the fluff.
I think so, too.
I know it was some sort kind of like a crewish thing. Probably not quite on the scale, because that would be dumb.
No, it's just going to be too big, like, 5-inch AOEs.
Or something like that.
Well, if it's everyone is control area, takes A.
That would be vile.
POW 50.
POW 50. And we saw from the picture, he's got some sort of buff on the assault commandos around him, so he's probably got at least one troop buff.
I'm going to pray for Snipe since he's got a gun.
That would be...
Or Deadeye. That would be really cool.
I'm going to pray for STFU 24-inch mortar we don't need.
Mm. I'm going to say Snipe is maybe even likely because of the way that they've been moving the spells around and giving a little bit of flavor to the other factions.
Deadeye would be cool.
That's what I was going to say. But is it only Haley? No. Kane has it too. Deadeye could be it.
I like Snipe. Snipe's already in two factions. Why not a third?
I could see, well, probably not both, but something that would at least help the Assault Commandos hit because they still get, in Mark II, they still get their extra
Deadeye would be perfect for them.
Sure.
They don't need help. They killed Ron in that battle report all by themselves.
It could be that maybe he has an elite cadre that actually gives him a rat bonus.
I can hear DC cussing from here.
Well, so far only Epics have, but who knows? I mean, that's not a requirement.
Well, I mean, Mark II, from the field test at least, none of the elite cadres actually gave a stat bonus, did they?
No.
Yeah.
So. I feel like he's going to have Fire for Effect. Like Uruskaz.
Oh, that would be sweet.
Damage rolls on
boosted mortar.
I actually kind of wanted him to have a shield, though. I wanted it, like maybe shield cannon or something. I wanted him to be more like an assault commando actual model.
Well, if he had a shield cannon, he'd probably be more like a man of war because they have the shield cannons.
True. The assault commandos don't have them, do they?
No, they just have shields with
the specs. Because they've got a gun, yeah, sure.
But he is also very highly armored in comparison, so.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he's got the shoulder pads of assault commando.
So. Arm 17. Calling it now.
Think so?
I could see that. It's a Kador caster. I think 16
speed
minimum.
Speed 5.
I think he's going to go up 16. I mean, look at Epicreas and how armored he is, and he's 16.
Hey, I mean, Epicreas also apparently is like 20 feet tall, if you look at the art.
Whatever artist
made that picture of him just kind of, you know,
exaggerated
a little bit.
He's larger than life, is what you're saying?
Yeah.
That picture is awesome.
He was actually standing up on a box.
He was getting fitted for, like, his wedding gown.
Exactly.
But, no, I'm going to say 17. You're right. I mean, Epic Krios does have that, but he also has an armor spell, which is probably the reason that regular Krios is only a 14-15, because he has protection, you know, at any point. I mean, if he was a 16, he could become a defense 16, arm 18 with the blink of an eye.
Gunfighter. So he can shoot that big gun in combat along with that big trench knife he's got.
Maybe wet work.
Ooh, that would be cool.
He's exactly like Finn.
And he is hates, anatomical, he hates anatomical
Finn.
Precision.
He is Finn. He hates Finn.
Finn converted. He found
he the saw the error of his ways.
Finn gets reduced to one wound if he's on the field.
Yes.
But can't die.
All right, so what
so they can come back from
what
the
we did
episode.
Last time is we actually kind of went through all the stuff that we knew was kind of coming out, like the artwork we saw, and also just kind of speculated. So talk about the other factions. What do you think Warcasters are going to get? What was well, I, now I forgot what my protector guess was.
We had a ton of stuff that we were talking about.
I know that I Signar in Prime is going to have Haley.
I don't think she's – they're moving her out.
They're moving her out.
Yeah.
I'm coming out. Did you guys have good guesses? I wasn't here for this. I need to hear this awesome
– Signar was one we hadn't actually got to by the time we had the recording error. Did we?
We got the Warcaster, but after that.
I didn't think we got to the Warcaster part.
Doesn't Why? Matter. Spill We're recording beans. Now.
Spill them.
I don't remember Signar.
We mentioned – well, I'll start with Krix. I remember Krix.
Yeah,
I had
a ton of ideas.
I wanted Krix to get a pirate Warcaster that was like a living, more pirate-looking guy. I mean, someone that almost looks like the Privateers, kind of, so they can kind of get some a more piratey fluff look.
See, I just can't agree with that. I mean, they have – one of their models is called the Pirate Queen. I just can't imagine they would go a piratey route.
I would be afraid that it would look too much like the Privateers.
Yeah.
But, I mean, who knows? They could do something. I don't know.
I mean, they have three pirate units. They have...
Yeah, but they don't have a pirate-looking Warcaster.
But that's... The Krixian pirates look like that sluts. Like, that's what they are.
Well, they have other pirates, too.
Not the Revenants and not the Ghost pirates.
Because they were pirates, and they died.
Well, we need a
they were the Warcaster. First.
But here's the thing, though. The best pirates, we already know. It was Rengrave, who's a solo, and Blackbane. So if the top aren't there, I mean, also they
were actually, if you think about it, all the original Lich Lords were pirate kings in their own right. But then, so,
even if they put it on the Lich Lord on the table, who just looks more piratey.
Well, you could make him a pirate, per se, if you really wanted to.
I want a big fluffy hat, and even if he's a big metallic face, one of those eye holes has to be covered with an eye patch, and a robotic undead parrot.
I'm thinking that Krix has a lot of really, you know, vile, like disgusting stuff. But I mean, other than Terminus, Terminus isn't even that gross looking. I was kind of thinking like a really gross looking, like corrosioned out guy.
You want blow through all the Warcaster?
Not necessarily blow through all, but I mean, still kind of like sludge cannon.
He likes Slugborn, the corruptor.
Yeah, so something ridiculous that like, you know, is an abomination.
I want your Warcaster to have Purge.
That would be awesome. But, you know, a guy like that, that was my...
I want one of the other Lich Lords to come out, but I want one that's, like, magic heavy. There's one, I can't remember his name, who's, like, their head of occult research and heads up their, you know, finding new Warcasters and stuff.
I
that
can
really
think
awesome.
Of the name. Like
that
would be cool. Venithrax is one, I think, or something like that.
There might be Venithrax. Morbus.
Extends.
I used to be able to... Oh, Lord. I used to be able to name all of them. I can't now.
I was actually kind of wondering... I don't know if this would work fluff-wise, but maybe... Maybe a troll, like a blighted trollkin kind of guy to go along with Gerlach and the Blood Gorders. I don't know if there's actually one in the fluff that would work.
I feel like that's similar to the whole thing I said about pirates. I mean, Gerlach is the epitome of those
He's not
trolls.
A Warcaster, though. He's not a spell user.
Exactly, but I mean, you'd think that if he was the leader of all those trolls, like, wouldn't a Warcaster probably
no,
be the leader of all
No, because not
trolls?
Everyone can be a Warcaster.
Yeah. I understand, but if there was a Warcaster... That he would probably be the leader.
I'd like
not if they're like more magic oriented. Not maybe they're looking more for something like that.
He'd be able to kill
another them. Idea that I had this week was a necrosurgeon who became a Warcaster. So, but a little bit different than your standard one, but like has the ability. Has like Thresher, so he can attack multiple guys, and every guy he kills, he can immediately turn into either like a Mechanithrall or a Bilethrall or something.
Or get a Corpse Token or something.
Yeah, and then do it later.
Oh, its that weapon's a really giant cool. needle, and then you can also like throw it with the string. And then, like
scorpion,
pull people back in.
Get over here.
Maybe he has that spell.
No, it's a necrosurgeon. It walks on a giant spool and you know, runs around.
It can only go in a straight line.
I think you're confusing War Machine with Mouse Guard.
With what? Mouse Guard?
Never mind.
What's that? I need to know.
It's a series of comic books and a role playing game about anthropomorphic mice and other animals.
Like Redwall?
Kind of.
I love
those. Only know humans.
Was there humans in Redwall?
I don't know.
I don't think so.
So, Krix Warcasters. That's what we got so far?
I think so.
Are we going to move back into them if we speculate what if they get units and solos? Or are we going to do that now?
We'll move back. We're going to jump around.
We're gonna jump around.
Okay,
guys, wait here. I'm gonna jump up. I go take my shorts off and put them on backwards and come back in.
That's the wrong song, Dave.
Crisscross.
That's not what I was talking about.
Jump, jump.
So Signar, you know they got some stuff.
Signar, they don't need anything.
What would you like to see as a warcaster
for Flans? Signar? Gosh, I mean, I know Striker is the storm caster, but I really felt like a more stormy guy. I don't know. I just feel like he's such a, now that he's like Lord Commander, he kind of, his affinity for the other people of like a specific type kind of goes away. I also always thought the idea of a sword knight would be neat because he's, I mean, they're supposed to be so
they're elite. Average Joes for the most part.
But they're supposed to be, no, they're actually supposed to be elite though.
Yeah.
I mean, they are, but I'm just saying they're average Joe compared to their equipment and everything. They have basic swords and knightly armor and that's about it.
Yeah, so I thought it'd be cool if one...
It's their training that makes them better.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought that they were, if one of them had the Warcaster power innate in them, that'd be neat.
And they would probably be like Varus and get flanked with Warcasters, or with Warjacks.
Yeah. Stormsmith Warcaster.
I thought about that, too. I mean, Nemo, obviously...
That's really a Nemo, yeah, I would think.
Nemo already has that down, but at the same time, it's...
There is elite cadre, but they're not like...
When I think about Signar, I feel like everything's represented. Like
Rangers aren't that represented, but...
That would be Kray. Because he's a mounted Ranger.
He is a scout, yeah.
He works for the reconnaissance service.
But I guess in fluff, but on the table, I don't know if it really... There's no real synergy there, though, was there?
Not really.
I don't think Rangers have synergy with anything.
A new Warcaster could make him synergistic.
I mean, how many AoEs... Well, I mean, Mark 1 and Mark 2, they actually change.
Yeah, they're really good in Mark 2.
Like, Signar doesn't have as many AoEs.
And their FA increased in Mark 2.
Yes!
They're some of my favorite models in the entire army.
Oh, the models in the game. They're a really cool-looking unit, but...
Their rules are leave a little bit to be desired.
What about a Morrowind Priest?
Ooh! Order of Illumination. That's what we talked about last week. That's cool.
Yeah, we also... I mean, I forget which one you guys mentioned, but they have the illuminated one miniature from the IK line, which, since they're doing a lot of like... re-releasing the RPG miniatures as figures, there's a good chance that it would show up. Even
as a solo, though.
It's not armored. It's not going to be a Warcaster, but I think we're going to see at least some sort of Illuminated Order presence, especially because they're going to be hunting down Skyra.
Or you could have the...
Nissor.
Excuse me, the Free Order, the Golden Crucible, because they're pretty much left in Signar.
I think if you see a Golden Crucible Warcaster, it's going to be a Merc.
It could be. Working for the Lely's Resistance or whatever.
Highborn qualifying... Warcaster, which I think would be very possible as well. On the Protector side of things, most of our bases kind of got covered. It'd kind of be interesting to see like the Peasant Rabble version, something like a Zealot or Deliverer-ish kind of guy.
I'd like to see a Hierophant that actually has become a Warcaster and can have like an elite cadre with the choir. Maybe even have, it could be like a low fear focus, they have like 5 or 6, but then maybe have some of its own hymns that it can do as
kind
well.
Like a Grizzelle of
That would be neat.
Yeah, if you're buffing the Jackson, that's pseudo focus in a sense, so you wouldn't necessarily need a
Yeah, so rip off my caster. Rip off like the one unit thing
right.
that I got going.
That's right.
Yep.
Thanks.
Dude, she's getting so beat up in Mark 2.
What do you mean beat
We're
up?
Throwing her out the window. All the trolls.
The trolls are. They need to get back
the
in the
trolls are getting cut in Mark 2.
The trolls are just. They're no more.
They didn't make the cut, sorry.
They're on the IK line now.
When their codex comes back.
The other thing I was thinking, when you guys were mentioning Kray, is it's an opportunity for other casters to get. Or other mounted. Factions to get their mounted ones. And I would see potentially a mounted Idrian Warcaster.
I like Kay of Warcaster.
With the skirmishers running around doing their stuff. And on top of that, you know, we've got. Amon preaching the word to his fellow men. Not all Idrians are devout Menites, but enough are that you could easily bring another Warcaster from their ranks. And like a desert-dwelling, light-armored horse rider.
I'd like to see him on a camel.
Also, watch this action. Uh-oh. Perhaps a...
Well, we can't. This is a microphone. We can listen to this action.
We'll listen to this action. Okay. What if he ends up being the Warcaster that you can use... Well, no, it wouldn't work because he would be a merc. An allied warcaster that you can use with Magnus at the Magnus Agenda because he works with all Idrians. His thing says specifically.
There's nothing says you can't have an allied warcaster.
Nothing.
It's true. Also, but I just don't want him to be but at the same time, he's going to be a protectorate model.
The problem is if you made him an ally like that, then he has to be specific enough for the faction, but actually generic enough to be a merc too, which is where you're trading a lot of power.
The thing is, he wouldn't be...
No, you.
I think that'd be cool if he would. If it like just a rule, it'd just be a rule that he could work in the Magnus agenda.
It potentially could, or the it says you can work for the Highborn or Magnus
agenda. Why would he work for Highborn? Or something?
Because the Highborn is currently cooperating with the Protector right now to free Lael.
What?
Yeah, they have it in Legends.
Yes, Ashlyn but Highborn Covenant says any mercenary that would work for Signar, not otherwise. That's their thing. I understand.
And Mark 1. Wolf.
Yeah, it could be completely rechanged to Mark 2.
I'm going to go ahead and say no, Scott. That means they can bring Idrians. That'd be fucking amazing.
Who's Scott?
No, it
that
doesn't.
Was a whole Austin it doesn't Powers mean they reference.
Could... No, Scott.
No, Scott.
No.
Oh, right. Let's
do you know how awesome that would be? Imagine all the mercs you could use now in Highborn. Ugh, Fiona and Idrians.
We're talking about just the caster. We're not saying the entire.
Yes, but if you open up, you said Highborn may change, and I'm saying if you open up Highborn to Protectorate, that's going to be.
No, the guy could have rules. Just like
he would specifically state
Lund and Brug
this.
Do say he could work for the Highborn Covenant and Magnus's agenda, and that could be it.
I think that this is a dumb idea.
I think you're a dumb idea.
I think that he needs to work for Magnus's agenda. Period.
Anyway. Mono Warcaster, there you go. Protector gets one. And then he'll have Intercept for like 5 seconds, and then they'll re-release him, and he'll suck.
Well, there you go.
They don't suck in Mark 2. Idrians don't.
No, they're just overpriced.
I don't think they're overpriced either.
We're not going to get into Mark 2 discussion yet.
We don't even know what they are in Mark 2.
They're Idrians. So, keep up
their
the
engines.
They're
engines, Josh.
David. God damn it. Right. David Charles.
I'm thinking that...
No, the Protector needs mounted gun mages so I could have cowboys and engines.
No. That's what Steelhead Cav are for.
What about Cater? We did the Assault Commando guys. Is there anything else, though?
I mean, that's him.
They're only getting one.
They're only getting one.
They're only getting one.
If you could have two, what would it be?
If I could have two?
A Doom Reaver.
No, I always thought Epic Butcher should have had a Doom Reaver sword instead. And then had Spell Ward. That would have been awesome.
I always wanted to see a Doom Reaver that broke off the sword.
We said they're getting one new Warcaster. What book are they getting that in?
It's in the Forces of Book.
The Forces of Book, but I have heard, I don't know if this is right or not, I had heard that the new Jax that we saw the R4 are supposed to be in the Prime Mark II.
And that's the only new thing in
new
Prime.
Thing
that's
in
because
there.
Of the way they're, we're assuming they're going to do the plastic kits.
Right.
Yes.
Because it's going to be on the same chassis as the original.
I'm actually, Jax. I guess I'm not going to do it in this series, maybe next year, because, I mean, just looking at Kador, Karchev's going epic, the Butcher's going to his third form. And then so a striker.
Is this a joke? No. Are you
I'm
serious?
Dead serious.
I
really
see
think
it.
It's gonna be third forms.
I think
it's
there
been
could
said
be.
Like
we haven't seen the last we haven't seen the last
forms.
Of striker.
I don't know about that. I heard that they were getting rid of the entire story arc. So I mean they've said a lot of things.
Did Matt Wilson say that?
Getting rid what do you mean, like rewriting the entire history?
No, but not using those characters as the focus anymore.
Well, right. That,
like,
that
for
would
example,
make sense.
Lord Commander Striker is the Lord. And then there's a guy under, a Warcaster under.
Yeah, I would assume that they'd bring in new characters before. Well, they'd just bring in new characters.
I had a theory about
going legendary.
How they're going to get the legendary for Kador. It's all going to do with the Retribution kicking their butt.
No, it's going to be a Butcher.
It probably will be, but that's not as cool as what I had in mind. It is basically, you know, there's this huge showdown and Zerkova's forced to bring Nisor to. They kidnap Queen Anne, the Retribution does. And then they have this meeting.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And they bring Nisor. And there's a huge fight. Queen Anne dies. Vlad assumes the throne. And he becomes the Horse Lord in name. And he gets mounted.
That would be kind of cool.
He gets mounted?
So like he would be a mounted Warcaster then. He'd be their mounted Warcaster.
Then he has...
Because he's the Horse Lord in that tradition where they were all mounted.
And then in Crix, what happens is Asphyxius...
Screws up.
Has sex with
Asphyxius and Torok meld. And you get a dragon. And he's on a 2,000 millimeter base.
Awesome.
He's mounted on a bigger dragon.
Epic.
He's
a
mounted
dragon.
On a dragon.
He goes and just tames Blidergast.
Yeah, all of his kids meld into one super dragon.
He rides Thagrosh.
Into the
there you go.
Thagrosh is the mount.
Who rules Crick's land?
No, that's ridiculous. I don't think they're going to do legendary.
All right, let's just move on.
I think it'll be a long time away before they do anything like that.
Mercs.
Oh, Mercs. Yeah, well, we were talking about Epic Ashlyn at one point, which I think would be super cool.
I think Epic
Gordon.
We know there's not going
to
be a rule.
I always used to joke and say that was Durgan, so, you know.
What's Epic Gordon?
He did run into the book.
I don't think he's going to go Epic. I think they're going to get another Warcaster.
They won't get it.
Not in this book. They've already said there's no
rule
of
Warcasters in this book.
In the Merc book?
Uh-huh.
Well, I'm not saying no. I'm saying I think that mercenaries will get another Warcaster. I do not.
Oh yeah,
oh, yeah,
oh yeah.
They've said that.
They will not. I think the Grodan Crucible. Not, they won't get an epic.
I think Order of the Grodan Crucible. Oh. I could actually also see there being another Talion Charter guys that can work with Shay, like at higher points or something.
No. Why? I say that because there's already three pirate Warcasters.
No, but strictly for the. Yeah, how Shay's only the Talion Charter, something like that. I could see.
Well, why would you need that? That's, if anything, that's just hurting.
I don't know.
Because you can already use Fiona and Bart. This is true. 1,000 points.
Yeah, I do like the Order of the Golden Crucible idea, though.
I think that in
or
Amethyst Rose Gunmage.
That would be that'll be a solo or a unit.
That'd
be
sweet. One other option.
You'd have Finch. What's his name? He's the big solo guy for them.
But wouldn't that be sweet if there was a Gunmage with a rifle?
Like a range 14. Warcaster.
That would be Drake Cathmore. He's in the historic scenario.
Not necessarily Cephalix, but one that works around them, I think. Because I personally think that they're allies, and they currently cannot work for anyone. Mm-hmm. I think a new caster with a new contract that, like, Fiona can work with.
Yeah, that's been speculated for a while. Thamorite. I would like to see something like that.
Another Thamorite.
I think a Cephalix Warcaster would be interesting.
Do you guys know in the fluff, do they really mess with machine or jacks that much? I mean, obviously they do,
the
like...
The Cephalix?
Yeah, I mean, they do, not biological kind of experience. But,
you know... You never know what could spontaneously manifest.
Instead of
Cult of Cirrus,
like needles and stuff, he has like a laser to like cut Jack and stuff.
Is it?
He's got shark, the laser from
a shark with a laser beam attached to its head.
Cirrus is also an option. Cirrus would work.
That'd be that hard. Would to, be awesome. They wouldn't work with Crix though, would they? No, they. No. Well, they specifically no, don't Cirrus work with wouldn't. Cephalix.
They don't work with Cephalix.
Yeah, so there might have to be like an animosity rule or something. Yeah.
See, I would say that if anything, they would want to get the Cephalix played in Mercenaries, because otherwise, why are they an ally?
Oh, well, I'm sure that they... Well, they could have a contract
created.
There's plans
for them. There's got to be.
They could have a contract created,
maybe the plans come to fruition, Tim.
Could be.
They could have a contract, though, necessarily, without adding the Warcaster. I mean, maybe they just make a Thamerite contract that Fiona can work with, and the Cephalix can add it to.
Who else can... So it's Fiona's contract?
You mean just like the Talion is Shay's contract?
Yeah,
well, it's not just Shay's contract.
What other Warcaster can work in the Talion?
Bart and Fiona.
I thought they could only... The Commodore only... Oh, no, it's the Commodore.
The Commodore can only work with... Specifically Shay.
Magnus's agenda is the only selfish one. But then again, you can use Scorn, so.
Yay.
You can't use Scorn on Magnus' agenda, can you?
No, but you can use Magnus in a Scorn.
Right, but you can't use the agenda, though.
Correct.
But Magnus has also already gone epic. I mean, he's the mercenary, so.
He's got a chance to go to his third form, too.
Where he goes back as being a loyal Signar.
Who knows?
Oh,
what about the new Jax?
Well, we've seen the artwork for him. And that's pretty much it.
They're all in the old chassis, like we said, and it'd be a good opportunity, and Jason already alluded to this, putting them in the plastic kits.
Gosh, the Cotter kit would be so valuable.
Yeah, what are they going to do there?
There'd be four. What?
I said, yeah, what are you going to do? Are they going to give you all four in there?
Yeah, why not? The Marauder just has two piston arms. Those jacks are the exact same body, except for arms.
Depending on how different they make them, you could put, I mean, look at the Phoenix that has the extra parts over the Hydra and the, whatever the other one is, Manticore. Maybe the Guardian is in the protected box as well. Maybe
you might,
maybe
you might
Stormclad.
You might get those, but I would doubt it because
I would doubt
they're
it
specific.
Too. There's a lot of things on those models that I've seen that are just a little bit different. Like, for example, with the Juggernaut Destroyer Marauder chassis, the top of it, the Kodiak's the exact same, except for the Kodiak has a completely ornate top. So they have to literally take the entire piece off, which is the largest piece on the entire model.
Well, they're going to re-sculpt everything. So it could be that they're going to make them,
true.
You know.
And maybe there's like a bit that you can add on.
A plastic bit that glues on top. Oh, look, now it's a Kodiak.
I was going to say, I don't think they did it with the Retribution models, but it would be cool if they gave you like a handful of little bits that you could really customize your jack with without going to the bit store, which probably won't carry the plastic bits.
Yeah, but if they do sell them in the bit store, they can make more money.
If they sell anything in the bits in the parts store, it'll probably be whole sprues. They don't do yet right now anyway.
How about we go ahead and just get what is already out in the bit store, and then we can talk about maybe adding some stuff to it.
That'd be nice too.
Can't mix metal and plastic, man.
All right. Well, let's just start with Signar.
It's got two chain guns.
Think they're gonna have Sentinel rules?
It's just instead of a D3, it'd just be a D6 strafe since there's two guns.
Strafe is D6.
Is it on a chain gun?
Not no,
on
chain a gun.
Okay, well, Sentinel is a D6, so maybe it'd be like D6 plus 2.
I think it'll be 2D6, and I think it'll be 2D6 plus 6, but because you can't have two separate special actions to fire each one.
I agree. Right. I think a 2D6 would be pretty. That's what I originally said, but I was like, wow, 12 shots. You could also only get two.
But if it's a lower POW like a chain.
You throw it with Cray and it boosts all of them.
No, I would say it's a range 10 POW 10.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. If it's a lower POW, then having 12 shots may not necessarily be a horrible whole thing.
Sure, but if you knock down an armor 14 warcaster, it's going to die. And yep. 12.
But then you bought a cool jack that did something cool.
I can't wait to get my hands on that and mod it so it's got shells flying out of it all over the place and stuff.
How about the first non-unique with two hands for Signar?
Yeah, it's about time they got one. Well, assuming that those guns somehow move so he can grab these.
He's got hands, though.
But he's holding
grips. But the guns are in the way.
No, they're strapped to the arm.
Oh, they're under the arms.
But he's not gripping
the guns. No, he has hands.
See, I thought he was gripping something that was
attached. He has fist, but I don't think he's gripping anything.
He's not.
Okay,
the problem is, though, that he can't grab anything because the gun barrels go under his hands and get in the way.
I'm going to go ahead and assume that his hands can just rotate and...
Maybe the guns can like retract or something.
I'm going to assume he's got
the guns
go gadget hands.
He can shoot one off.
Go gadget hands.
The question is with D6 strafe and all that jazz.
2D6.
What happens if he loses one of his arms? So then he can't do it anymore.
Well, you can't use a special attack on a crippled system.
Exactly.
So yes.
But
so,
I see still strafe with the one.
Yeah.
I put a special attack on both gun.
Well, it could just say if it's
combo
like
shot.
And, you know, it says you get an initial attack with each head. Maybe
combo
you get a
strafe.
D6 for each
combo strafe.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
It's still a D6, but it makes like a POW 13.
That would be cool.
That'd be super neat.
I hope they are able to. I hope you're able to put the models together so you can approximate the cool art. It seems to me like a lot of times they have cool art for models that you can't reproduce in the actual model. So I hope that you can do that sort of sideways stance like he's got in the artwork, because it looks pretty cool.
Moving on to the protectorate.
He's got a shield.
He's got a shield. We're talking armor 21.
That's pretty big.
He's got a little chain weapon thingy.
AK yesterday said that he saw a version of the art where you could see the end of the chain thing.
What was that?
He said he looked like the Crusader's Maul.
Okay. Ooh. So that would be crit fire. And hopefully pop a strength 18.
It's actually fire. It's just fire.
In Mark II.
In my opinion, that would be stupid. And I'll tell you why. Because the Crusader has an open hand, and the Crusader has the weapon. Granted, he'll probably be cheaper than this jack, but I mean, this jack looks like it's going to have reach, looks like it's going to have more armor. If it had the same exact thing that the one guy did, then it'd be...
More expensive?
It looks like
it'd be 7 or 8, but it wouldn't be... I mean, I don't know.
It's like they kind of Vanquisher and Crusader and came up with something new.
It probably won't be 18. I mean, the largest reach we have is 17, the protector armor.
In my opinion, he's only going to be arm 20.
He won't. He's in the same chassis and a +2 shield. It'll be 21. But what I was saying is he might be a little bit more expensive than the Crusader. He's got higher armor, and he might also, he might have reach. And if he does, he's going to be an interesting choice for Amon.
Well, and here's another thought is that it may be on the same chassis, but you never know. They could go with, if they justify it with fluff, it may have the speed 5 because it's like their own technology they're using. And all the ones that they've created have speed 5 on their heavies versus.
Yeah, they also have the entire different chassis.
But maybe
this is true. I was just saying, you know, it's speculation.
Then again, I mean, the Fire of Salvation has a 5.
And he is.
So that's also because he's. Character.
Yeah.
No, but he's old chassis with new technology.
Well,
the
only point I was making is the old chassis can move at 5 inches. It's just not to standard. I would expect him to be 4, though.
It could be.
Do you guys think these guys are going to have FAU?
Yes.
I would think so.
I think they might go back to the old renown. I still think they need to
take FAU out of...
Well, they took away renown because if you look at the Kodiak and stuff like that, they're FAU now too in the field test.
Yeah. So. I'm saying maybe they're trying to go back to that. Maybe, I don't know. I don't know why they would necessarily.
I'd say FAU is fine for Jax.
I think it's a dangerous way to go.
Yep.
If that were some sort of blanket rule, which isn't written anywhere.
For Jax? Why is that dangerous?
For anything.
Well, not for, obviously, not behemoths.
I'm saying for absolutely anything. Oh, God. To say it's always FAU, I think would be a mistake. But that's okay because it hasn't been said.
It's true. I mean, I agree with you, Dave, that FA3 for at most, you know, for like a jack. I mean, like, I don't think it's wrong to have 3 Crusaders, but I do think it's wrong to have 12 devouts. You know, that's just kind of stupid. Although it's really awesome in a 752 caster when you're bringing Epic Krios and Amon. But that's besides the point. They all auto hit and they all deal crap tons of damage.
So the Crix one.
He's on the Slayer chest, and he has these big bulbous, which I think last week I said it looked like Audrey 2 from... I can't think what it's called now.
Little Shop of Horrors,
thank you. And I'm the musical guy in the room. And it looks like that is, you know, Feed Me, has this big thing coming out.
To sum up the discussion we had, we talked about the tubes coming out of both the claw and the gun.
Yeah, because it's on both weapons, which is interesting.
And we thought that maybe it had poison. Because it kind of looked...
Potentially.
It kind of looked like a stinger type thing. And even the claw looked like some sort of stinger in the middle of it.
A little bit. Yeah, it had small spikes, so it could be a Hero Wish or something like that. I hope they don't go another soul route like the Hero, where I'd like to see something different.
Poison. Like additional die?
Yeah.
Obvious living.
That would be interesting.
That's a heavy.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Probably not an AoE. Probably not a spray either, but.
Maybe just crit on the claw and then the gun just low enough. Yeah, the gun could be a spray too.
Could be. That would be interesting. That would be. It is, you know, it's a big.
It could be the Biothrall Jack.
Ooh.
Yeah, but do you realize how potent that'd be? That chassis Rat 6 with a spray that has poison.
That would be awesome.
It'll kill shield wall stuff. Like, there you go. Job.
I have no problem with that.
We've already got the Sentinel that's going to get Kraid, and the double Sentinel is going to get Kraid. I mean.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not a fan of that idea.
We did talk about how, to go along the whole poison theme, the artwork had these two huge fangs on the head.
Right.
We which made that, it look really different from like
I think we voted that was probably going to be an actual weapon. And again, yeah. I think that's one of the things that gave us the idea of it doing poison.
Because otherwise, we only have one melee weapon.
No, well, like tusks. Yeah. A lot of them have tusks as a weapon. It has fangs.
It looks so like I think it would vampire be like fangs. Or
yeah, it's really disturbing. It's much, much different than what I would normally expect, even though it is Crixion, you know.
Very cool.
So really, we don't know, but it's a theme they could go. I mean, it does look snakeish, and it's got some goofy liquid stuff going around.
It's weird for me to see this jack, because anytime I see a range jack, especially with a claw or something on the right and a gun on the left, I expect
crab jack.
So it's really bizarre to look at it and say, oh, it's only got two legs.
I love your crab jacks. The
they're really great.
They're neat looking.
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, the Reaper. I guess I'm. Huh?
It doesn't look like a gun, though.
It is. Well, it does. Yeah, I mean, it's. It's not like a projectile weapon, I guess.
But it does project.
It's still attached to him, though.
Moving on.
By a chain.
The Cotter one. He's going to cut down some trees.
He's the lumberjack.
Dave and I joked additional die versus constructs.
Yeah, against wolves.
Oh my god, that'd be so awesome.
It's chopping down the wood.
Or maybe all non-living models. I mean, we just thought it'd be kind of silly. Like, you know, the Crixion gets an extra die against living models, and this one against unliving.
That'd be awesome for killing jacks. I mean, it's got at least, yeah. I mean, he's strength 12 because of the chassis. I mean, even if it's 4, it's a 16, then he's going to get additional die. It's pretty potent.
I was thinking the gun, basically a field gun.
Really? I thought tempered it looked bigger. Ammo. It looks bigger.
Well, yeah, it is.
But tempered ammo doesn't exist anymore in Mark II as far as field tests are concerned.
That's true.
I don't know. It looks really big. I feel like it's going to be like the blunderbuss of the Jack world. A short, high-pow weapon.
But I thought the Vanquisher already had that.
Yeah.
Well, Vanquisher is AoE. I'm saying like range 8, pow 16. Like really, you know, short, but packs a punch.
Maybe.
Could be.
And then has an ability.
What ability does it have?
It has crit... Dave, let's move on, because I don't know.
Okay.
I like that ability.
Mercs?
There was no Merc Jack.
We don't need to picture one. I think we'll just – what we said last time. Another thing for the Nomad chassis, so you can make that chassis in a box set with plastic and potentially move the Mangler onto it.
That's what my suggestion was, because the Mangler became a regular jack for everybody. So you have a more standardized plastic kit, which is the Mule, Nomad, and Mangler.
And put another jack in.
That is a very...
Because they look different.
The chassis would get standardized.
They get a little more standardized.
But that changes the jacks completely.
It might.
Their armor.
The Mule is a the Nomad chassis, though.
You sure?
Absolutely.
But on the other hand, it does let them do the plastic kit. And I think that's probably not a bad idea of why they did the Mangler.
The tops are completely different. Their shoulders are completely different.
The other option was, I think they could use another Rulic Heavy.
Well, I think if they do the kits, they probably would. But even though the Rodhammer Rock Ram and the Driller, they still have different chassis.
But there's a different...
Partially.
Really the top part.
Yeah, where they have the big upside-down scoop neck thing, that's all the same. But otherwise...
By the way, watch out for those Jackson Mark II. And you see one on the table, they're not really a joke. The Driller is really cheap and maybe more effective, and the Rodhammer Rock Ram gains some speed because it has assault now.
Mm-hmm.
So you can really...
Mm-hmm. I'd like to see another heavy and another light to boost out the Trinity for the lights. It doesn't have to be an AoE, but
I
want to
see
cool.
light plastic kits, but that's just...
It would be really easy to do, but I think they said they weren't, or at least that's the...
And I know they...
We've or at least a second heavy for our two chassis versions.
God, for Death Rippers, that'd be...
I know it's unlikely, but I would like to see Magnus get another custom jack. Yeah, it's one war casher, and it's more money. As much money coming in because
but
it's
the Mangler lost its custom jack.
Right, that's why I said Magnus needs another custom for himself.
I don't think he will just because of the whole box set thing.
Right, but it would be neat. he could get the first Merc character, Jack, because he made it.
Oh, that'd be interesting.
That would be cool. I mean, obviously, a character Jack has to have some kind of affinity for someone.
Do you want to talk about the units real quick before we go to the list?
And solos.
Sure, we can do that quickly.
All right, so quick units and solos. Start with Signar real quick. What do we want to see them do?
Ranger solo.
Ranger solo could be cool.
The Morrowind chick solo.
Yeah, that would be cool. The cleric, she could show up. Merc Warcaster. I totally forgot our speculation from last time. Magnus Sperling.
Damian Sperling.
Damian Sperling, there you go. The Warcaster from the IKRPG line. He could show up as he can be a steelhead guy.
He could also work with Magnus.
He could maybe work with Magnus.
In the Magnus agenda.
He's worked with Signar, so he could also kind of fit Highborn, too. He could be one of those generic that fits multiples.
Actually, going along that line, we have to watch out for any characters that they're drawing from the IK figure line. You know, they might put, like, the Gobber Rogue dude, you know, or whatever his name is. Stuff like that.
We need more Gobbers in the
Tomb
game.
Maidens.
Tomb Maidens, possibly.
Those would be with Cirrus.
If they do a Cirrus Warcaster, I'm sure we'll see them.
Bone Swarm for Crooks.
The one for the Protectorate, I really don't like his look. He doesn't look like the other Paladins of the Wall. Sir Erickson or something like that.
He looks really 80s.
Sir Ekris something.
He looks 80s, very angular.
Yeah. I'm joking. His armor and stuff just doesn't fit the current Order of the Wall. So
Maybe he's got like an strap ancient a suit or on that guy.
However, we're going to take the Precursor Knights from Signar and give them Order of the Wall shields and make them Protectorate units.
Or are they squires?
That's the other Warcaster to protect it.
The Paladin of the Wall Warcaster. We did talk about that. Yeah,
but you got Vilmon.
He's not a Warcaster.
I know, but like once again, you see these trends on these characters that when you release characters and they're like the pinnacle of that. Like Vilmon was walking with the Harbinger and Voil. Like he is the head of them. If there was a Warcaster, it's very possible that he would be up there with them, or he would represent them.
You know, just because the Warcaster doesn't mean he can't be, for example, under Vilmon's command. You don't have to, I mean,
that's true. Obviously, Striker's under the King's command. But
we'll take Kane. I mean, he's deliberately not gone up the ranks.
But if you were an Order of the Wall, you probably wouldn't do that. You probably wouldn't act like you're a drunk. He's also on a super secret mission.
He is.
He's super secret. I don't know. I just have this feeling. I mean, every time they release a character, it seems like it's like capping off the thing. Think about it.
I don't think so. If Kador, we got
Kavnik Joe,
but Sorsha's a Winter Guard.
Epic Sorsha was already out.
It doesn't matter.
It does matter. There's not going to be further release of those. I mean, I may be wrong, but right now I'm correct because those are the facts. I don't want to sound like stuck up, but that's, you know, whenever they've released the character, there's never been a Warcaster of that type afterwards. Granted, characters are very new, so they haven't had a lot of opportunities. Maybe I'm incorrect.
Character Stormsmith.
That'd be cool.
That would be sweet.
But anyway, yeah, Protector. I think a lot of people want to run Order of the Wall armies, kind of.
Yeah.
I've seen people talk about that a lot. I think it'd be cool to give them the capability.
Some kind of squire-esque unit, new initiates, because once Vilmon and all the siege happened, they got a surge of new people joining the Order of the Wall. So you could do something like that and make it fit. I think I'd like to see an Order of the Fist little mini unit. That'd be cool. Give them some kind of chain weapon or something.
Give them a three-man unit to make them better than Robin and the Bodyguard since they suck now.
Not be a character unit, though, Dave.
Yeah,
that's I mean, back to the Stormsmith thing, something that I noticed on Epic Nemo now, instead of saying Stormsmith for his cohort, it says Stormsmith Stormcallers. So that makes me think that's very possible that they're going to be new Stormsmith
units. They'll have bigger clocks.
Bigger clock?
Digital. Because they're all clarion clock.
I didn't even notice that.
Yeah, they all get a little clock because they're timing the sky crap.
Wow. I didn't even know that.
That's why it's a skill check.
They're so clever.
Because they have to wait until it's like 4 o'clock.
What about Kador? What do you think they could get new?
I mean,
look at him over there. He's like,
I would like to see. It's more of a.
We need a towel for Tim.
Unit attachment, but I want to see the Grey Lord Precaz, which is their secret police.
Oh,
and you can attach it to any unit, any unit, and what it does is basically he becomes the commander. He keeps the spray, the frostbite spray, and he keeps. He has some kind, instead of the concealment spell for himself, it's like for the unit. So he can buff the unit. And then he has another spell, but then
he's got command 10.
He's got a command 10. And if you fail a command check, you remove the other guy who's the leader in the unit, the regular leader. You remove him from play because he kills him and you automatically pass your command check and he promotes a new guy to be a leader in the unit. So he's like a commissar.
Or just kill a guy.
But I like the idea of killing the leader.
Does that work in Mark too? Like the way, I mean, I guess he's the leader.
Yeah.
He's
what happens when
he's the officer.
He's the officer. No, I understand. So
he's also the leader, though.
So I was
right, but you know what I'm saying. I
meant so is he a regular UA then?
Yeah, he'd be a
so
UA.
So then you can't bring a UA with him.
Correct.
No.
He would be the UA. Okay.
Unless you made him a weapon attachment, which could be really weird.
But then he wouldn't be the leader.
He wouldn't be a leader. They're like, well, I could also see it because they don't know who, other than like the top echelon, they don't know who is a member. So any Grey Lord you run into could technically be a member of the secret police.
Well, you'd probably know if he was attached to a unit of Winter Guard.
This is true.
What are you doing hanging out with these Joes?
Nothing.
I'm here to help them get to the front line, and y'all, oh, you failed. Blam!
They'd have to have a hand cannon.
Cover's blown.
There you go. They give a hand cannon.
I'm going to have ice skates, and you can be speed 8, and you just like Iceman, where you ice Done. Skates on the ice.
Frozone.
I always thought for...
You know, like Fiora's got the wall of fire. He can always put a wall of ice behind him after every turn he finishes his movement.
That'd be kind of cool. Yeah, a different wall would actually be kind of neat for anybody.
Firewall.
That was one I've been wanting forever. I just think that would be cool.
What, ice wall?
The whole secret police guy.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it'd be redundant to have another special unit of Grey Lords out there.
Ice wall could be cool if it was you just can't move through it. It just literally blocks you off.
Because it'd be like an obstruction.
Yeah.
Instead of an obstacle.
Interesting.
You could pin someone in, though.
Two or three of them.
Well, you could destroy it. Pillars of Salt.
Oh, yeah.
For example.
Sure. We have a high armor. Higher sure. than Pillars of Salt.
Oh, sure.
What else would I like to see? Like an actual unit?
I think an Iron Fang unit that is maybe, I don't know, I don't know the ranks as well, but do they only just carry spears?
There's the Pikemen, the Ulans, and that's, the Great Bears are an exception because they were their own special unit. The awesome. Great Bears all had axes, and then they were the only three left.
Okay, well, maybe, I just don't know.
I don't know, you could always invent something. Winter Guard, I mean, it's pretty perhaps? Open to say something new.
I mean, I hate to say a new Winter Guard unit because there's so much Winter Guard, but... They are the bulk of their entire army.
You
so
could easily give some sort of new Winter Guard. Then they did. It's called the Assault Commandos, right?
No, they don't have the Winter Guard sub units.
Well, no, but they came from the Winter Guard.
Winter Guard with gliders?
Like Ewoks or something? Yeah. Dropping stones on the AT. Oh, wait.
I'm going to roll to warp jump my Winter Guard into your back.
Oh, Lord.
All right, so I think, did we hit?
We've got Crix left.
Crix and a little bit of Mercs.
I've always said for Crix, I've always wanted a Bile Thrall UA. Not to make the Bile Thralls more powerful or something like that, but maybe change their purge into a spray that auto hits, maybe a little bit higher power in exchange for a lower area or something like that. Or like some big machine that they bring behind them that once per game they can use it to make the purge more powerful.
What if it'll throw Bile Thralls?
I think we decided that was a Warhammer thing last week.
Oh, yeah,
yes,
that's right.
We did.
I always wanted to see a War Witch solo.
That would be cool.
That would be cool because there's definitely a lot.
There's
of
only
those.
One War Witch, but apparently there's more.
Yeah, there's more than one. Yeah, sure.
But there's
that could be also their new Warcasters, another War Witch.
That'd be cool. Give it a completely
and
different spin.
Make her a pirate?
You go there.
The pirate War Witch of the Wait, no.
Why are we disagreeing so much this episode? No. I feel like I'm disagreeing with everyone.
Don't worry about it because I'm right and you're bringing wrong to the show. That's
except
good job.
For I was right and there was fact behind it. Not a big deal.
Back to Crix. I mean, we have Tartarus as like a super solo Bane, attachment guy, but I would like to see an attachment maybe just for the Bane Thralls or something.
Oh, Sun Eater and what's the other guy?
Sun Eater and Portesh, the two character, the lieutenants below
Tartarus. Terminus.
Right. One of them needs to be mounted, though.
Really?
I'm just saying, because that would be cool.
Well, sure,
he could be like their Fenris. He could run around and kill stuff in melee. And
something to help like Banes, because I know people, I hope people are going to play Bane Thralls more in Mark II. I think they will.
They need a lot of help. They really can't kill things whenever they get in melee with them.
No, I'm not saying they can't get in melee. I'm saying something. Yeah, I know.
So what kind of help do they need? They already drop your armor by two and their weapon.
Well, I'm not saying they need help, but there's no reason why you can't help them out. Things don't get UAs because they're underpowered. I think you give something like cleave or something like that. Or maybe,
oh God, cleave on those guys.
They don't have reach. They don't have reach.
Cleave on Bane Knights.
Hey, maybe those two guys are unit attachments that can attach to any Bane unit.
Could be. That would be interesting. Maybe one could be a UA and one could be a weapon attachment or something.
There you go. That way you could put both of them on the same unit.
Yeah.
The Uber.
One get the weapon attachment gives cleave.
Mm-hmm.
And unit attachment would probably give some sort of like the Furious Charge.
I would say the unit attachment gives them an ability, and the weapon attachment is just a better version of. Because that's how weapons don't grant. Is there any weapon attachment that grants things? I guess the new Solus does.
The Solus does.
Well, sure. I mean, both the Rocket and the Grenadier grant AoEs.
They don't grant.
But.
That's
something.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like he would be a he's just a bigger badass. He's just the
Solus is a weapon attachment.
The Solus is what that's why I said.
And
the Solus,
he
does
stuff.
Grant.
Yeah. So it's potential.
It's potential. Okay.
So something like that would be cool.
My Crix unit, and I talked about it last week, of course, was the actual pirate crew. They're not Satixis, but they have flank specifically with Satixis Raiders, so you use them together, and when the Satixis, if they're fighting a guy that's fighting Satixis, they get the flank bonus.
Give them maybe martial discipline or something so they could leap through each other and coordinate their attacks.
Not the crew of the
the Widower.
Fuck. No, the crew of the Widower. What's in it?
Her ship.
I can't think of names right now. The pirate captain.
Atramentus.
Atramentus? Do you mean
they're all revenants?
They're all revenants.
I was going to say, not his ship.
No. No, these would be regular living guys. Right. And you could actually even make them Satixis. They could be we talk about the Satixis eunuchs. These are the guys that they can't breed with the Satixis. So they're like, we're going to throw you on the ship and you can fight with us instead. And they're like, okay.
Because when you breed with Satixis, then they just kill you after.
Yes.
Yeah, pretty much.
They do the whole praying mantis thing and you're dead.
Poor praying mantises. Praying manti?
Mantises. Mantises.
Mercs.
I've always been wanting a unit of amethyst rose just because they're sweet.
They would be cool.
I have one.
You have a unit of them?
The equivalent of, an idea. Actually, I do think the amethyst rose would be really cool. And I would actually like to see them as, I could field them with the protector, but they'll never
do
that.
They don't like arcane magic.
You never know, though. I mean, if they're building a relationship with them, they could, but it's not likely. Definitely.
Right.
But what's the name of the druid guy with the shrimp?
Oh, he's a stole. They're
which one?
A black clad, yeah. Right?
He is. I don't know if he's a black clad or not. He may be.
The IK guy?
No, he's I can't even think of the Wolfstalker leader. What is his name?
He's a stone ward.
Stone ward, yeah.
There you go. Something like that. For Crix, or for Cirrus, with some little constructs. And maybe
he could have mannequins, which are the mechanical constructs that sometimes they make, too.
That name's taken, though.
I might need a different name.
But maybe not even
Seed's
one.
Taken.
Not even that you can do to 10. It's only 6, and they're all medium bases, including the Cirrus's guy.
What if he's not on a medium base? That maybe make it a little more survivable.
Could be that, too. But like because they do the whole body replacement thing, I could easily see them making one. I mean, not necessarily tomb maidens because they were kind of made for a different purpose, but little Cirrusist war constructs.
There's so much cool stuff in there. They could make another. They could make a sub faction like the Tal, like the privateers or something. Mm-hmm. If you go through the Witchfire trilogy, the head priest guy, he's like a big spider.
Father
guy.
Lucant.
So, yeah, that's his name. Those guys are the not sentinels.
You guys ran like hell.
Yeah,
it's like
Servitors.
Dude,
servitors.
I wanted to take them in our campaign. I wanted to take them apart because I was an arcane mechanic.
Two maidens would be like AGs for War Machine.
Oh.
Kind of, yeah.
The model of the pose.
Sort of. Yeah.
Just standing there.
They're sweet looking. I've always wanted to buy one.
Okay. So we decided to get back into the swing of things and have a list discussion this week.
We did a list discussion last week. Where were you?
We're having a real list discussion this week.
This isn't some stupid protectorate stuff.
Yeah,
this is stupid scoring stuff.
Exactly. Hey.
You guys, get out of my house.
Okay.
What did you bring, Tim?
I brought an Epic Makeda list for... I wouldn't necessarily think it's super competitive, but it'd be a fun list to play.
Something to be different. Competitive enough.
Yeah, I think it is. It highlights some new stuff, though.
Right? It highlights quite a bit of the new stuff. So it's Supreme Archdominia Makeda, Malak Karn, Basilisk Kriya, 2 Bloodrunner Master Tormentors, an Extoller Soul Ward, Tyrant Radim, a full unit of Bloodrunners, 4 Praetorian Ferox, 10 Praetorian Swordsmen with the Officer and Standard Bearer, and the Tyrant Commander and Standard Bearer. It comes out to about 749 points.
Isn't it Archdomina?
I think it is. And it's also a minimum unit of Bloodrunners.
Minimum, maximum. It's all the same when it's only 6 guys.
So, all right, so thanks for listening to the Iron Agenda. And
Yeah. Okay, so the idea of this list is to capitalize on her spell, Road to War, and basically what that does is when she casts it, every model in her control area, friendly Scorn model in her control area, gains +2 movement.
No, it's model units.
Model units in her control area gain +2 movement.
To advancing.
To advancing.
Or running.
What's a neat little trick is you can combine that with the extra movement from the Tyrant Standard Bearer. And basically, so you can go one unit gets like an additional 4 inches of movement instead of just your normal +2.
So your Bloodrunners can walk 11.
Yes.
And only the first one has to reach their lines.
So if I AD all of them max and just keep one back, they'd be in good shape. It's pretty sweet. So you can send some crazy ninja Bloodrunners.
She's also got leash to give Moloch some free stupid movement.
Exactly.
Well, he will be
bonded to her, so he'll ignore the loss aspects and he'll have 5 fury.
Actually, that's dumb. So you can't boost against them, and you got to take all of them out in order to do anything.
Uh-huh.
Just kill them. That's what I do.
That's what I do. Great Bears took him out last time I played.
We don't all have Great Bears, Tim.
I use Mulg. He's only math 6.
We don't all have Mulg either.
No, not all of us plays the tree-hugging circle, Jack.
Typhon.
That's right.
Yeah, Typhon doesn't really kill him. He just throws him away.
It's enough. Get out of my house. So he throws him and then sprays 2 more times.
I think Moloch is more manageable whenever he's not under, was it Fate Ward or his own thing?
Fate Ward is
plus Mordekaiser's feet. As long as that combo isn't out there, I'm okay with him.
Yeah, that one less die and then you get pushed away is pretty sick.
And you can't boost against him, so it's stupid. I want to kick him out the window.
Yeah. It's
we don't want to talk about this too much, but also Tim talked about using him with Hexerus and putting Armor of Karak. Is that right?
That would be Xerxes.
Xerxes, sorry. Armor of Karak.
Give him plus 5.
Give him plus 4.
He only gets 5.
Oh, that's right. He'd only be Makeda. Right.
So he'd be armor 22, and you can't boost against him.
Yeah, it's pretty sick.
That's pretty dumb.
So, but anyway, moving on. The rest of the list, we've got Molo Karn. I mean, at this point, he's been out long enough. He's just really, he's so hard to kill. If he's saving Fury to use Fate Ward, and he's going to have 5 Fury with Makeda. So, he's going to be awesome.
Oh, yeah. He's solid. And then the Kriya is there to lock enemy beasts down and to give bonuses against range.
And to protect her. Yeah, protect her from, the Legion. Yeah, protect her from the Legion and stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And that was the second point. Had you let me finish my sentence, Dave, I would have gotten to that point.
Well, you weren't talking fast enough.
I see. Extolar Soul Ward will give Ghost Sight to the Cav when they... when they get the Pathfinder from the Tyrant Standard Bearer, so then they can charge through forests pretty easily. It's fun.
Or Redeem.
Yeah, but, I kind of see him going his own way. He's not necessarily going to be right behind the Cav.
Right.
That's how I usually see people play him. But by people, I mean Vader.
He'll be somewhere else on the table wrecking havoc.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. He'll be charging with his armor-piercing spear.
He'll be looking really dumb when he's on a small base model, because he does that.
Then we have the Bloodrunners, ninjas, anatomical precision, their vanish ability.
Talk about that for a minute, because we talked about the Tormentor?
The Tormentor is the help with them with the flank.
Yeah.
But the actual unit...
Tormentor is the one with vanish. They have shadow play.
Oh, close. They all hit similar abilities.
We know what you're getting at. When a Bloodrunner damage one or more enemy models, you can take another one and place it anywhere within 1 inch of another guy.
What's cool is if you're, if 2 people charge the same target and then one guy kills it, the other guy still gets his charge attack, but then he could move somewhere else.
He'll get the attack, but not the charge.
But they have
anatomical precision.
Yeah, so as long as they hit, they're going to kill the guy.
They're mat 8-7. So you send these guys against single wound infantry and they're going to win.
Yeah, exactly. And then if you happen to have a Tormentor nearby, does she grant them flank or does she get flank from them?
I think they get flank if she's engaging them all.
Okay, yeah. So, they could even potentially get up to the mat 10.
Well, they don't. It's called coordinated attack. When it basically says when attacking miles within melee range of her, Bloodrunners get a bonus.
Right.
Plus 2 additional die.
Right. So, yeah, there's a nice
And they
little
can flank with
there.
Each other.
Uh huh.
Because they're both Bloodrunner models.
Right. It's pretty neat.
I'm sure that'll be reworded to some sort of grant flank ability on it.
That makes sense. And then, we have the Swordsman with UA in there. That's her standard Elite Cadre. Her Elite Cadre bonus, other than the +1 Matterat in command, basically allows them, once one or more models in that unit are destroyed in their maintenance phase, they can then move up to their full movement. It's very cool.
It's very cool.
I have my first game with her was against Jason and his epic Doom Shaper army, and he just kept killing a couple guys in the unit, and they just keep moving forward. And
yep,
I remember my first game with Mosar was against you and her, and I had to block all your guys with Pillars of Salt and Force and things just so you couldn't get that off on your next turn.
Oh, yeah, because I was moving quick.
Between that Elite Cadre, the Ferox and Redeem, and the Bloodrunners, there's a ton of mobility here.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
The mobility of Scorn. It haunts us all.
Yeah.
And Redeem, we talked about a little bit before, especially we talked about around Gen Con episodes, because he's just awesome on his own.
What's really sweet that you can do with the combination of what you've got there, you don't even need Makeda, but using the Tyrant Standard Bearer to give set defense to the Cav, and then if and putting him only in charge range of someone, when you charge him and you miss, you get to use evasion. So,
oh, look, we jump around
infantry,
you.
Most infantry can't hit Death 15 reliably, so... And it's not like you can take them out with AoEs or anything like most Death 15 models like Striders or something like that.
So that's the list. What would you guys do to fight against it?
I had the misfortune of playing against this list almost exactly against Vader the other day. I don't think he had a Soul Warden. I think he may have had two units of Bloodrunners, but it was almost exact same thing. I had Balder, actually, and I was doing pretty well. I had, usually on turn two of a game with Vader, and he always says this. I always ask him, or he asks me, how much fury is on the Warcaster, because we're about to go for the kill. Because we both just rush toward the center. And so I was having a pretty good time of using my mannequins to move out in the field and using them as targets for 200 throws, because I had a bunch of 200 throws on the field. As Flanzer will attest, Circle is top-notch at throwing things.
Yeah, top-notch right behind the trolls.
But he used, I think he had five Ferox, so he was able to block some of my throw lanes, and I had a difficult time getting rid of the Ferox I needed to open up those charge lanes. But if that one or two Ferox weren't in the way, I would have had a pretty good way to throw Earth's Blessinged Warpulp up there, so he wouldn't get knocked down, and he could have gone in to kill Makeda. And then eventually he used her, was it Whirlwind of Death or something?
Oh, when she just cuts through everybody.
He used that to just barely get up the baller, and she slaughtered him after that. But whenever I play against a list like this, especially with Circle, I just have to get upfield as fast as I can, throwing things the best I can, and just going for the kill as fast as I can, I guess. Because I don't think Circle can withstand a lot of the power that's behind this list.
Yeah, I mean, especially for Circle, there's a lot of Pathfinder in this list, which doesn't really, you know, help the fact that that Circle's so mobile.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems that they can move around so much that they're almost matching your mobility. So yeah, your greatest strength is equal to theirs. Yeah. And
it's not really diminished, it's just equaled. Right. And so yeah, it's not an advantage anymore.
Exactly. And so then now they have advantages that you don't, obviously, mm-hmm, and that you can't match.
Right. But I have two-handed fists beasts. Well, you don't.
This is true.
And manic.
We have Guided Strike Mollet Karn, though, who kills things dead.
Yeah, yeah. That is pretty silly.
It is so silly.
With the trolls, I played a list. It wasn't obviously exactly like this, but it got the gist. And with her eating through all the infantry is very difficult. And I was using a beast heavy list, like you said, Epic Horlock, and it's just not a good matchup. You really can't. It's really tough to be able to get to Makeda with so much infantry in the way. And if you don't kill every last model, they're all going to come back with her feet, and then you're going to have to kill them all again. So, you know, it's going to play a really mean attrition game, but at the same time, it can, you know, pounce on you at any moment. So you really got to watch out for stuff like that. In my opinion, you know, a good way to win against this list is to obviously be a completionist and, you know, get everything off the table whenever you attack, like the Praetorians, for example. Make sure you kill them all.
Yep.
Killing the Bloodrunners in whole. There's only six of them, so it's not too bad. And then from there, being able to successfully, you know, block lanes and things like that. Because as he said, you know, Mollet Karn's really great at killing things. But a weak point in this list too is there's only eight fury on the table for Makeda. So she's either not going to have transfers, or if you can, you know, somehow kill a beast, then she's going to have a tough time, you know, being able to survive any kind of attempt that you make on her life. Also, something I don't know if we've mentioned before. I don't know if we talked about Makeda before, but there's an ability that she has that is my favorite part about her. It's called Stay Death.
Oh, love that.
Whenever ability. A trooper model dies in a unit, she can spend a fury to make it keep it alive. It's so great for like blocking charge lanes or you know, right before she wants to feet, like they're making last ditch efforts, and you're like, that guy's alive still.
Yeah, I never thought of that being used, but that would be so frustrating on the opposite side of the table.
Yeah, I love to do it against Cav Chargers because they come in to kill those front guys.
Stop their charges.
And it's, oh, can't reach me, thanks.
Yeah, it's really good with something like that. You can clog up a whole mess.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in Legion side of things, I think that we've got some decent answers. I think I'm going to try and use combined range attacks from the Striders or the Concentrated Valley and the Bloodrunners early. Get them before they can get to me. That kind of stuff. Also, Incubi.
They do have stealth, though, the Bloodhunters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Concentrated Valley ignores stealth.
Yeah, but I'm saying, but the Striders don't have Concentrated Valley, do they?
The Striders? No, yeah. They could get within 5 inches. I mean, because he's going to be coming towards me anyway. They're gonna get within range.
What's their rat?
Their rat on one of them, I believe, is a 6.
Yeah. Bloodhunters are D14, I believe. Yeah, the Tormentors are 15.
So they'd be doing 2 or 3 mans, and hopefully just cleaning up after the Concentrated Valley. But I think Striders would be a good answer, even with shooting my own stuff to pop them out, because that's a boosted mat 6, and that'll kill them. The same thing, those would kill the Bloodrunners as well pretty easily, just because, I mean, because, you know, 13 armor, 5 wounds, I can get through that with a pop 14.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, Incubi are a good counter. After that, we're going to have to worry about some of the other stuff that's coming in. I think my Cav would do okay.
Oh, yeah.
If you hit my cab, you can kill them. But if I can get a charge off, I can cut up the cats as long as I don't miss and they walk away. Because that's always a problem. But my cab could do that. And if they can't charge yours, they've also got bows. They could start working on the Praetorians. Even if they can't clean up the unit, they can start shooting them and shoot maybe like a third. And you've got to make a decision. Do you want to feet and only get that third back? Or you got to wait and give me another chance to finish the unit off?
Right.
So I can kind of try and force that a little bit. Stuff like Typhon, his sprays are going to be awesome. But on top of that, throws. You can't knock your cav down, but you could throw Malk Garn.
This is true.
So, you know, there's always that bonus.
If you forfeit your movement with light cav, can you move again?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Because you forfeit your normal movement.
Yeah.
So, like, my light cav could aim, take two shots, and walk away.
That was something I was never sure about.
Yep.
Because I never shot with cav before.
Warmongers might not be too bad.
They're sturdy enough that I might have a problem getting through all of them.
Just to try and blunt a cav charge and set up for a counter with something like Swordsman.
I had the Bloodrunners kill my entire unit of champions, so I would say that it's very possible that they die.
Well, I'm assuming I've got some range stuff to take out some Bloodrunners on the way in. I'm talking about more of stopping the cav.
Yeah. I mean, if you're making... Yeah. Well, I was just saying in general, like if you're bringing Warmongers, I don't really see Striders, Warmongers, lists, you know, together. I mean, obviously you're making a list to counter this. That's one thing, but...
It depends. I did my hardcore list. I had Deathstalkers and...
Yeah, but Deathstalkers aren't able to do what you said that the Striders would do. Because you said, oh, they'll go up there and they'll combine, and then, oh, they'll pop out Incubi. So did you have Incubi and...
Not in that list. I'm saying in general, I mean, stuff that if you have it, these are good answers. Mm-hmm.
No, I just, I was surprised with the Master Tormentors getting in there, dealing a little damage, and then the flanking Bloodrunners were killing champions. It was pretty stupid.
It was pretty dumb.
Yes.
Were they still under the Creel Stone and all that?
Or? No.
Okay.
But that's just the same armor that and boxes that a Warmonger has.
Mm, true.
I think, you know, I've also got the stuff, the typical kind of up and over type stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Send in Jellyson and see if I can take stuff out. Even if I could take out the Kriya or prevent you from throwing Animus up and just charging over stuff at Makeda. Because she has a lot of fast moving stuff, and it's going to get ahead of her if she doesn't rein at least some of it in. She's only moving speed 6, and everything else. I mean, granted, she could advance 8 if she casts Road to War, but, you know, everything else can be moving much faster if. And if she's not careful, it's going to outdistance her, and that leaves a gap between her and her lines that I can exploit depending on what I brought. On the War Machine side of things, I got some Zealot bombs. I got some AoEs.
Yeah, but you
got
to watch out that, you know, when are you going to Greater Destiny? Because if they're able to, you know, walk 11 inches, if they tag one Zealot, it's very possible. Even though they come Def 16, you know, if you run the Tormentor, you know, get in there with flank. You may be able to hop into the Moth Bear. It depends on what your positioning is, of course.
Oh yeah, I mean they're very tricky. You definitely have to Greater Destiny early, like just kind of tie them up.
Stay in your deployment zone and do it.
Yeah. No.
No.
The AoEs would be good against them, and then some of the harder hitting and more attrition stuff like Bastions, kind of blunting the charge. Ferox charge in, kill a Bastion, you shunt just enough damage for the Bastion to be Populous Strength 14 Weapon Master next turn, and he cuts the Ferox in half.
Bastions are definitely interesting. I've played a couple of games with them, against them. They're interesting. Good damage soak.
I'd say what did you say?
I was going to say also like just TFG setting stuff on fire. I mean, granted, they stab a Blood Murder, they're going to kill it, but like the Ferox, fire over a few turns is going to hurt.
Don't miss them.
Yeah.
I would say with, you know, from the Signar side of things that, you know, once again...
You shoot the piss out of stuff.
Yeah, shoot the piss out of stuff. But, you know, you got the stealth models and, you know, it's not... I mean, I certainly didn't always bring long gunners. And trenchers really aren't that going to be that great at killing any of the stuff in that list. So I would say that perhaps, you know, just a nice concentrated force... something like the Thunderhead, for example, could be ridiculous and could potentially take out an entire unit or something like that. Also just trying to use a lot of Signar trickery as far as movement. Depends on who you're playing, but, you know, either Kray or Darius or even, you know, Epic Kane with being able to get an assassination off. You got to be, you know, Makeda has to be careful because, like I said, she only does have 2 beasts. And if you can use that range to, you know, deal with something, I mean, even if you get +2 defense from a Kraya, it's still possible for Epic Kane to lay into Akreya, and by the time he's done, he's shooting Makeda, mm-hmm. and she's gonna die.
Yeah, that's one thing I didn't mention is if you're Road to War and advancing and casting Leash to bring Mullet Karn with you.
You have one Fury.
You have one Fury, and if I'm playing Lilith and either Lilith and like Striders and stuff, first turn I might have a chance to
absolutely
take you out before you can do stuff. Now granted a KG player is gonna just, block that off, block line of sight and stuff, but it's another thing you have to be careful about.
I think since you're gonna have to worry about taking out all the units to the man, it's a lot of leaps. With Signar, like a Stormguard or maybe Epic Nemo or something, to give a lot of that extra Powhatans out there, that would help quite a bit, I think.
And Stormsmiths to be able to.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, sure.
Like, oh, I need to get
like a good triangulation or something off. That would be pretty cool.
I think it'd be.
Epic Striker and what's his.
The Surge, the straight line one. Surge would probably be pretty good.
Probably more often seen.
Epic Striker and what? And what?
The spell that he can.
The Lawnmower?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What is that called?
It's awesome. It's like a Kruger feat.
Yeah. Sort of, yeah.
That's upkeepable.
And auto hits.
But that would be really good.
Sure, yeah.
Handy for him. Plus, he's got enough armor that, he can't stand up to Mullet Karn, but he might, mm-hmm. someone might come in at him be able to get him.
The, some suppressing
the no boosting, he could overload his strength and do some serious damage to Karn without.
Mm-hmm. Well, hell, you can, in that case, I'd maybe use one, maybe two die. You don't really need to, go overboard to kill Karn because he's mat 7, so you're hitting on 6s, and he already hits a palpal strength 16. So if you got a 6 or a 7 on 2, or maybe like a 3 or a 4 on 1, that's going to put you up to a pal 20, and it's only going to take a couple swings.
Give or take.
Give or take. Depends. Just don't fail your command check.
How about Balthrals?
That seems to be the answer to everything, and I hate that, though, but you are going to need lots of AoEs and Balthrar Purges. Think auto-hitting stuff, because the defenses we're looking at here are just high enough where you're probably going to have to boost a lot.
And yeah, I was about to say that.
And if you don't have that available, or if you're not trusting your dice, you're going to be wasting a lot of attacks, and that can really suck. Yeah, I think a good death jack would help out a lot.
If you're bringing Banes, you got to kind of watch out because their mat is so low, and especially if he can somehow pick off Tyrus, then you're going to be in real trouble.
Yep. It's frustrating because you need that 8 a lot of times, and that 8 doesn't show up as often as you want it to, especially when you got an evasion happening right after you miss or something,
Not so, unless you're AK.
Yeah, there you go. But yeah, I think the death jack would work well. Man, a couple Night Wretches, and if they do get that
Ghost Raiders.
Ghost Raiders, if you can run through the lines, there's not a whole lot of magic stuff here.
Especially with a Soul Gate.
Yeah, if you could get one up there, sure. And then you put in Nightmare of the Death Jack or whatever you want, sure.
I would say that Morten Abra, on the whole, is actually, as far as casts are concerned, very good. I mean, her rerolls on attack and damage rolls are really going to help. And then, obviously, this the silly movement and the high mat of the jacks you're going to bring is going to be really potent.
Maybe a terminal velocity and then trample that you would get the boosted dies then, right? Or the extra die against living models?
Yes, you would. Yeah. Yep.
Because it's not just on a charge, you get the extra, right?
Correct.
Yeah, so maybe you might be able to clear out a handful of Bloodrunners or something with a... at the heavy, and then stand there.
You could scoot up there with the Death Jack, and as long as you could get within 9 inches of Makeda, just trample your way up, ignoring free strikes if you're Spectral Steeled.
Exactly.
So you don't even need to hit. You'd be getting souls, healing yourself if you need to, and then it only takes a couple good swipes from a Death Jack with boosted attack rolls to kill anything.
I think you need to get up there pretty fast, though. That seems to be the key to this army, You have to get to Makeda pretty fast, otherwise you're going to be swarmed, and it's going to be difficult to get your way out of that.
Yeah, absolutely. You almost have to outpace it. Mm-hmm. Which is kind of a weird thing to say.
I think that Blood Gorgers might almost work just because they're tough to kind of stop cav charges if you make it. They can also kind of clog the field, preventing leaps if you keep them kind of close to your, your jacks.
And if you can get, was it, you need 2 to get 4, 5, 6 tough?
What? Yes.
2 Blood Token or whatever they're called. If you could get 2 of those off, that would be a good primed unit to use as a wall in front of all that stuff.
Yeah, I mean, they're not going to stand up to like Blood Runners, or they're going to go down, but you're basically hoping to stop people from getting
That's what I was going
to
say. You're going to spend a lot of points, though, for 10 of them, and the Blood Runners and Master Tormentors are quite good at taking them out. You could probably take out the entire unit between your Blood Runners and your Master Tormentors.
So yeah, if they come in, then they're probably set up for you to kill them next turn. And that is a trade that's in the score and player points-wise, but that might be what you need to open up a flank.
I mean, only if you've got the Bile Thralls right behind, because like I said, hitting that defense for Crix is not easy. And they really don't have as many AoEs as some would think. I mean, I always brought a Blood Thrall, but I was one of the few.
I can see that. You have 5-inch AoE.
Yeah.
Bring 2 if you can swing it.
What about your cannon?
I've never used one, but I've always wanted to. I don't own it, but it seems pretty solid in a lot of cases. You only need to hit it with the drift to get the plus 2.
Also, that's it.
I'd like Terminus against this as well. Big guy throwing crap around, having fun.
I'd say mortars might have a field day. What do you think,
Tom? I was just going to say, if I were playing Kator, I think two mortar. One mortar is pretty standard for me, but I could totally see bringing two against this.
Or the walking platform known as the Behemoth.
That's fun, too.
And Fenris, even.
Oh,
he always berserk all day.
Yeah, I would definitely take Fenris and the Dragoon. I mean, they're pretty standard in my lists. I think the thing with Kator is if you can kill the Bloodrunners, then you don't... The Tormentors, yeah, they're a pain, but they're not... You can deal with them on their own. And then after that, I'd have no problem going head-to-head in a slugfest, even against Redeem and the Ferox, because there's enough high mat stuff in Kator that they can hit the defense.
Yep.
But I think you need Epic Butcher. Swing, walk, swing, walk.
I did almost have that game. Stu had a very interesting list to pour for Gen Con. It was Epic Morgul and a bunch of Bloodrunners and Tyrant Commanders and Malakarn and stuff, and the Butcher and Doom Reavers just kind of carve through a lot of that stuff. They're just berserking.
How did Butcher die?
He didn't. I won.
Oh, you won. Well, there you go then.
He missed
that. You said you almost had it, so I thought.
No, he missed catching Epic Butcher and Fenris and Epic Morgul's feet. He forgot to teleport.
But this is where he was just out, right?
Just out. I mean, he forgot to teleport and it would have been
then,
everything.
Even then, though, Morgul was going to have a hell of a time killing Butcher. 20 boxes, 18 armor,
and
seven
I camped on my focus for the most part. He would ignore that, but I'm like,
you're forcing him to spend
a fury. Forcing him to spend the fury.
Yeah, and you need to boost. Like, you have to boost to deal damage to Butcher. So, that's going to be tough. A couple good rolls could help, but I doubt it.
And hopefully the Butcher has retaliation up, so he gets some lucky swing on Morgul.
Even I did have it up for the most game. I'm like, all right, bring it up.
He just rolls stupid, just happens to hit him.
You have to roll boxcars.
I did trigger it, and my War Dog was in my range. I killed it, and then it made the tough roll.
Nice.
It's like my dog likes to be hit.
That's stupid.
It was hilarious.
And then mercenaries. I actually fought a similar list once before too. Fortunately for me, I had Bart.
Yeah, I was gonna say Bart be a good counter.
And the AoEs hurt him. Plus the feet. He's all up in your face, and even though he's got the cats, they become
mat
three. So it's like they kind of suck. And
still, Bart's feet buys you a turn to counterattack.
Not just buys you a turn, it almost buys you two, because then they have to stand up next turn, and it's not that easy to do. You know, I had press gangers walking through everything with payday and the additional attacks. It's going to, you know, you're going to be able to move through, kill a couple miles at a time. I mean, yeah, they're def 14, but when you're mat 5 and you're rolling an additional die to hit, it's going to help.
For a new player, you were talking about the cats not being affected by his feet. Could you explain that a little bit?
Oh, absolutely. Well, Bart's feet Typhoon is, in my opinion, one of the best feats in the game. What his feet does is when you end your movement, you get knocked down.
If you're in his control
area. So, like, they'll be, if you're already in it, like I'm assuming these Bloodrunners will be, they'll just get dropped. And then while in his control area, you're also minus 3 to attack rolls.
But if you're knocked down, how could that be?
The cats have Grace.
I think that's what it's called.
And they cannot be knocked down. So they're still going to be in there doing what they want to do. But at the same time, like we said, they're minus 3 to attack rolls. They're only mat 6.
They're going to be mat 3.
So that's going to be difficult to hit, you know, Sea Dogs or, you know, Press Gangers, you need a 10. And then any of the solos are even higher. So, it was brutal. It was quite brutal. But, I would also say that, Magnus has a probably good way to assassinate, Makeda, if you know, with a couple of renegades and then any kind of range that you bring. Idrians, of course, in the agenda are going to be a pain for them. You can actually counter their AD with a counter charge, leave the windows open. They can move through each other. So it could definitely be difficult. And like you said, most people, you only need to get one on there. Well, this way, if you get the one up and then you kill and they don't have the distance to get up, they won't be able to do their little shenanigans. Also with the Idrians too, they're going to need 7s to hit. So that's going to help you out in the long run. And then also from a mercenary standpoint, Ashlyn, I mean, her feat is going to be, even though they've got high mat, it's still going to be horrid. And then on your turn, you're going to be able to hit everything they've got. So,
which is key.
Yeah, with press gangers rolling 5 die to hit, dropping the 2 low.
The Forge Guard
crit slamming things everywhere. It's going to be nice.
With those extra dies, they're just going to be crushing things.
Yeah.
They have backswing? I don't remember.
No. They're okay. Weapon masters.
That's what it was.
So yeah, they wreck, you know, my Ashlyn list was, I remember I played against a really high defense circle list, And I was like, here we go. And I was like, you know, in theory, it sounds like it'll work. And then in playing, it actually worked quite well. The whole being able to mitigate defense with her feet. So it was cool. There's a couple options. But of course, you know, whenever we talk about how to beat a list, we're always like, oh, you do this, this, and this. But of course, when you're in game and you don't make a list to beat it, this list is really potent. And it's one that I suggest. I really like Emakeda. Mm-hmm. I'm a big fan of hers.
It's got some, I mean, this is a Legion style of Scorn list. From my opinion, I mean, granted, this is the new Scorn, so that's not really a valid comparison. But you know, what we all used to think of Legion and their mobility is really what we see in this list. It's Scorn just being able to move kind of wherever they want in some regards, and I think that it makes for a very strong list. And this, like I said, it's hard to play against, especially if they do stuff like, you know, they can run a wave in and set up their Ferox and the Praetorians behind the Bloodrunners. And what are you going to do?
Yep. Yep. And and like I said, if you can somehow get in there and if you've got like a low defense caster, it's very possible that a couple of cats could get up on you and bite you. I mean, with, like I said, being able to move 12 inches after Road to War and the +2 and then be able to spring, it's a 19-inch threat with their reach. That's going to be no fun for anyone.
Yeah, if, for example, Mullet Karn can slam something over you.
Yep. Or even to this point, getting your cats all up there at a certain angle where they're really not able to be defeated, you can they have to spend, this is a trick I really like doing, especially with large base models, blocking people in. They have to spend those resources that are right there usually to kill them, and then those resources are stuck right there. With Mullet Karn's mobility, you should probably be able to get all the way around. And next turn, he's there to deal the damage.
With a Fate Walker, is that what it's called?
Yeah, with a Fate Walk. I mean, you're already Road to Warring, like I said, so he's moving 8 inches plus an additional 6. That's 14. That's not too shabby.
Makeda's kind of in front of him. Maybe she has leash on him, so she moves, and then he gets the free move.
Yeah, there you go. Even more. So, very cool. And as far as outside this list is concerned, she's also a really cool 1,000-point partner.
Oh, I really like her. I love Mordekaiser's spells and his whole shtick of being the void, but she is just so much.
Mordekaiser's not dead because he fucking said so.
That's what makes him cool. But I've had a blast every game I played with her. Yeah, Epic Morgul is like the tournament hotness, but I also find him to be less thought provoking in how to play him.
Also, I think that
she really makes you kind of think sometimes.
Yeah, I mean she's. At some scenarios, she can be quite a bother too.
Well, especially if it's a mosh pit and you have one guy left in that unit, and then you feet, and they're like, they're all in the mosh pit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
Anything else?
So recently, I've been thinking about a lot of like 1,000-point lists, and I had come up with the idea that it seems like a lot of people, you know, sometimes either struggle. Or, you know, they want to find ideas and sometimes they have a hard time doing so. I've had a lot of people asking me, you know, different things about their 1,000-point list and what do they think they should do. And it being my favorite point level, you know, I just love to sit down and hit the books and find the best, you know, combos and the best synergies between, you know, the units and the casters and anything you could possibly do to essentially break your 1,000-point lists. So what I want to do is if anyone who's listening wants this, go ahead and send me either a 1,000-point list or more preferably a caster that they really want to include in a 1,000-point list and they don't really know exactly what to pair with them. Go ahead and send those to us at contact@ironagenda.com and I will look it over. And then maybe next week I can go ahead and speak on a couple of the entries and we can all talk about it together. What should we call this? I wanted to call it Table for Four because technically there's four casters at a table, but a good friend of ours, Z, suggested the name Take Two and Call Me in the Morning. So I don't know what we should do. Maybe Table for Two. What'd you say?
I said Reservation for Two.
Okay, we're gonna call it Reservation for Two. I decided that is what it's named. And the Fluff Parlor. They're both great names, and I think we'll stick with both of those. Don't you guys think so?
And we're not talking about doing this as like a – are we talking about like a full in-depth interview, or are we talking about this as like a little segment?
No, No, this is just a little something I want to do. It just seems like a lot of people are always like, 1,000 points this. Like I see on the forum sometimes they're like, oh, who's good with, you know, Terminus at 1,000 points? And, you know, it's just something to get people's gears going. And especially with War Machine Weekend coming up, I know that if you're interested in going and you're listening to the podcast, this could help you, you know, help your mind move. And,
sure.
And maybe if you have a, you know, a thought or a question, go ahead and send it in.
Okay.
Sounds interesting.
We'll see.
It's going to flop.
Might have to do another fluff parlor soon, too.
Yes. We're working on something.
So we'll
fluff. Oh, are we?
We are.
Are we?
I'm working on something for the fluff parlor.
Pillows?
No. Not pillows. All right.
Well, don't also forget to send in your theme army ideas.
We've already gotten a handful of entries.
Yep. Oh, did we?
Yep.
Cool. Yeah, so keep sending those in.
Oh, I have one to send in.
Do you? I don't think you'll win. Pretty sure.
Mine will be anonymous.
Oh, will it?
Yeah.
Trace your IP.
I'll send it from a friend's computer.
None of your friends are eligible. Friends and family members of the Iron Gen are not eligible.
We sure? Because that excludes the entire Game St. Louis community.
I have lots of friends.
I think you might have to rethink those friendships.
And the winner is... No, I know that guy.
Okay, I guess they can all join in.
Okay.
All right.
That it?
Sounds good to me. It's a wrap.
Sayonara.
I don't know.
See you next week, guys.
Bye.
Take it easy.
No, my idea was...
Contact Iron Agenda by email. Send your message to contact@ironagenda.com. To send a voicemail, dial 206-333-0983. Iron Agenda is copyright 2009 by its hosts and released under the Creative Commons Attribution No Derivative Works 3.0 United States license. Opening and closing music provided courtesy of Joshua Salter.